Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a COUG. I'm a COUG.
What up, Wazoo? It's your boy Tread, right? Had to give it to y'all again.
You and Martin Stadium right now can go crazy. Lean back and listen.
What up, Wazoo? Gosh, don't you love that song? It's been a long time, my friend. I'm
New Mexico. Since the New Mexico Bowl, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I was browsing around. I found all those old shows, and the one where we last talked was after the Apple Cup, after Sark bailed on UW, and they hired Chris Peterson, and we were getting ready to go to the Mexico Bowl. So there you go. Can you? And it's 2013. So if you do the math, what, 5 years?
Wow.
Almost 5 years?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we missed,
We missed a lot.
We missed holidays, almost historic season the entire time that we were good. And now we get to come back and talk when we could not be very good.
We missed
How's
all
that for an opener?
We missed 100% of Luke Falk. We didn't talk about a single Luke Falk play and a single snap. Nothing.
Wow. Yeah, I think probably the only thing that we had was way back in the day about Shaney talking. I think it must have been somewhere along our last podcast about how Luke looks so much better than Brugman and how he was going to wind up being the heir apparent. And we thought that maybe he was being a Logan Homer, and 3 years later, he's the Pac-12, greatest quarterback ever. Yeah, amazing.
So
amazing.
Yeah. So we're back. Kinda, sorta. I call this S3E1, so season 3, episode 1, because we only did 2 seasons of Blogfather shows, if you can believe it. But
God, it felt like 12.
It's a new year. What's that?
No, I just felt like, do we have somebody else join in?
No.
No?
Not on the old switchboard. I see me and I see you. This is Sean. Hello. The WSU Football Blogfather Show. Back. And my good friend,
again.
Sutra. And
back.
Our good friend Sutra.
It's the two of us. It's kind of like the rest of the blog fathers are kind of like Leach's assistants. It's kind of went away.
There were must have been our offers tonight, and I understand. I mean, you know how it is. He had some big news on Friday. Maybe he's still sleeping it off.
Yeah.
Did you see
right,
that?
So,
like,
so,
the blue,
I know. Like, we have people starting families and stuff like that. Well, some of us are, looking towards AARP. So let's start off. Why don't you start off and give a few thoughts about the 2017 season before it is that we look forward.
Sure. Well, it's hard to even know where to begin because we haven't talked in so long about it. But I couldn't have been more thrilled with so much of what happened and couldn't have been more disappointed with the way things ended. And obviously, the schedule, and you and I talked about this a lot off the air, but the schedule to me was always just so daunting, that back half. And it really, to go 3-3 after going 6-0, that's actually pretty good when you really think about it. To go 9-3 in the regular season, that's a damn good year. And to have another
pretty
shot
amazing.
At 10 wins. Yeah. I mean, we're not at a point where that's a letdown by any stretch. And I never thought we were going to win the North. I mean, I always felt that we were a little off there. But we almost did again. And, as things went on and the crazy off season, and I mean, from coaches to just the absolute worst tragedy imaginable and everything else, it's just been a real roller coaster. So I don't know. It's very difficult to put it into words about what I thought of the last year with just so much happened. But I was overall pleased with 2017. I'll put that as stone. I really was pleased with the year. It was a lot of fun. The win over USC is an all-timer. That win we took in at against Stanford was fantastic. Never a dull moment when you beat Oregon at Oregon. I mean, there was a lot of good things that happened. So, you know, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the one thing that I think it's hard for all of us to take is just how the year ended and how 2016 ended. I mean, I think that, you know, that to think about, gosh, you know, looking back to, you know, the last time that we were talking, you know, pre-New Mexico Bowl, you know, if anybody had told us that we would, you know, in 2016, 2017, go into the last game of the year with opportunities to be able to win the North, we would have taken that in a heartbeat. I mean, it's just, and watching the tournament selection show today in Hoops is just such a reminder about, you know, how hard it is to even get into the top 68, let alone, you know, to be vying for a division title and conference championship. I mean, it's just, you know, to get to that point is, you know, such an indicator about what a tremendous season it is. I think that the thing was just kind of weird. I mean, I think both 2016 and 2017 were weird. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot, but, you know, the thing about the 2016 team, you know, especially before it is that you know, we got totally torn up in that Cal game, which I think, you know, was a major, major, major season record. But, you know, going into, you know, those last two games, I mean, that offense was really going on, you know, really firing on all cylinders and, you know, put up 69 on Arizona and how many – we must have had 50-something, I think, also against Cal. You know, if that
– Oh, yeah, you're talking 2016, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if that team hadn't – and we know why it is that it happened and whatever else, but if that team had taken care of business – you know, kind of in the way that 2017 team had done in the non-conference, team would have been, you know, 10-2, 11-1. I mean, there was no way that we were. I mean, Washington that year was a legit playoff team, and we weren't going to beat them no matter what. But no. You know, that would have had a very, very different, you know, field this season had that team, you know, just one or two additional of those non-conference games. And then, you know, this year, I mean, you know, we watched that USC game. That was a legit top 10 team. And you know, two things happened. The injury bug on defense is brutal. You know, the guy that you and I talked a lot about that didn't write about in the blog and nobody else really kind of gave much attention to that was, I think, a huge loss was Derek Moore. I don't know if you remember, but it was like, you know, the USC game, you know, Nnamdi was out and Moore came in and he was a terror. And he, you know, he played great in all of those games and then, you know, had that cheap shot, you know, personal foul on that, you know, tackle that wound up getting ejected from target. He didn't play for the rest of the year. And I felt like that was a really big loss on a D line that was already really thin. And I think that really kind of showed as the season wore on. But the biggest thing, which is like the, you know, the huge question that you and I have been talking about is just, you know, what in the world happened to that running game? And, you know, the numbers, the number of carries, between
all of it,
you know, 2016 and 2017 is just crazy. And you know, we talked about, you know, you get behind, you don't want to run the ball as much. But I mean, the rushing numbers, just in terms of just the number of carries in the second half of the season, were just abysmal. And the you know, the thing that you talked about, you know, starting the spring game last year, and all the way through was that, you know, you felt that O'Connell had put on too much weight, that he looked slow.
And the conclusion I think that, you know, that we, you know, kind of had, I think, was just kind of like, you know, maybe the reason why, you know, the production fell off was just because the offensive line last year just was really disappointing.
Well, and it's, you know, Leach from game two, after the Boise State game, he was on that offensive line and calling him out in public after the second game. And it just,
yeah,
it just never seemed to, it seemed they never really picked up from there. I mean, they did okay against Oregon State, and they had their moments against USC, but yeah, for the most part, it was a struggle, and especially on the road. I mean, at Cal was a disaster. I don't know if that's a Justin Wilcox has the complete secret sauce, got you figured out kind of thing, or what. But yeah, the offensive line was just, maybe it was too much hype, and I still remember seeing O'Connell at the spring game and just, people, wow, he's 370 now. I'm like, okay, he gained 20 pounds. Maybe he should have lost 20 pounds. I mean, he's 6'9", or whatever the heck he is. He's gigantic. And you have him on the edge, and I don't know. They just, yeah, I don't have the metrics or anything to tell me, but I know that I think that was maybe the biggest disappointment of the year was that offensive line. It just wasn't quite up to par. So, and it felt like a big drop off from the previous year.
Yeah, and I think especially, you know, on the interior, I mean, you know, they talked, you know, I think it was Jacob Thorpe was talking a lot about how, you know, his view about how it was that Freddie was a lot stronger and was going to be a lot more, you know, stout than Riley Sorensen was. And, you know, I don't pay enough attention in games or watch, you know, repeats or whatever else to be able to actually take a look and see what's actually going on. But, you know, it struck me that especially our reluctance to be able to do anything running the ball, you know, up the middle, especially, with Wicks and in comparison to years prior, I mean, seemed like there was a question there. I know that, you know, you and I talked about and we saw numerous times and where it was that O'Connell was just whiffing on stuff. And there were a lot of games where it just seemed like BJ was really struggling too. And,
yeah,
I think that kind of the entire, you know,
the US
interior of the, yeah, and I mean, you know, first year of being a center in that offense is really no picnic. So I mean, I, you know, would expect kind of jumping forward a little bit that Freddie would be a lot better this year, but you know, I saw you know, me and Little Suture went down to the Senior Bowl and saw Cole Madison down there and they had him, you know, they had him playing everywhere at center, at tackle, and at guard. And and there was a couple times where it was like on some you know, running plays where they had him pulled where he kind of missed an assignment or whatever else. But he was pretty much nailed that entire time. And so I think our tackle play was great. I think it was just kind of the interior was just disappointing.
The 10,000 foot view. Or the view from 20,000 feet or whatever you want to say. I mean, you look at short yardage last year and short yardage in 2017, and it was a struggle in 2017.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case in 2016. Yeah, well, by nature, you're going to have issues sometimes blowing the guy off the other side of the ball when you're throwing it so much. And, you know, offensive linemen are going backwards like 80% of the time. But I don't know. It did seem like that was the big question there. So.
And related to that in terms of, you know, how it is, you know, the impact of the running game or lack thereof and, you know, offensive line difficulties potentially, you know, on Luke's play. I mean, I think was pretty obvious because, I mean, he certainly didn't, you know, look like the guy that we had seen for 2015, obviously, and 2016 in the second half of the year. The other thing that I thought was just, you know, amazing in a not so good way is, you know, obviously the second half of the year, there were, you know, chemistry issues with, you know, Tavares Martin, who, you know, either quit the team or threatened to quit the team after the Cal game. And so obviously, you know, that piece.
The rumor
The
rumor was that he did for the night and then kind of came back and talked to his dad or something.
And obviously he and Mac were roommates. And so, you know, there was probably, you know, they're probably, you know, being young men, you know, feeding off each other and getting angry. But I was, you know, I was flabbergasted to see Martin's 40 time at the combine.
you know, 484, whatever else, and, you know, Hercules, you know, almost being a tenth of a second faster. And boy, oh boy, I mean, you know, you start, you know, a lot of us, you know, were pretty harsh on Leach for, you know, coming out of these losses and talking about differences in quality of athlete. And, you know, some of those guys look like they killed it on their pro day on Thursday, but man, when you see that, you know, when your fastest, you know, outside wide receiver is running a 4.8, I mean, no wonder it, you know, Luke's holding on to the ball for so long, and why it is that we can't take the top off of any defense. So that's kind of a decent segue into the off season and looking towards spring ball. What are your thoughts? It was kind of eventful.
Yeah, it's a good way to say it. It seems so incredibly fascinating what is going to unfold, because, you know, I was listening to something the other day, talking about how people respond to tragedy, or how people respond to, you know, monstrous events in their lives. And some people retreat and some people thrive. It's how you're going to, you know, not really fight or flight, but how people respond to the most extreme case of adversity you can come across. And I cannot imagine what those guys have been dealing with what happened. And, it's so hard to even, like, I can't sit here today and say who I think is going to be the quarterback. I have no idea. Nobody's ever played at this level, and there's a lot of hype around, you know, young Cooper, but who knows? I mean, they haven't done 7-on-7. They haven't done anything together. I mean, I know they're working out together and everything, but it's not with coaches, or, you know, how different it is. And I'm fascinated to see how they move forward, fascinated to see what they do at the most important position. It's, to me, it's all about the quarterback. And I have no idea what's going to happen. It's just, I never have been so unsure before going in like this. So I wish I had something better to say, oh, it's going to be Tinsley. I don't know who it's going to be. I have no, or it's going to be the kid. I don't know who it's going to be. I have no idea.
I think the kind of the pundits speak about, you know, the fact that we don't have, you know, or that we lack somebody who's played, you know, one down of college football or has taken one snap. I actually think that that's kind of overrated. I think the real problem is that, you know, we don't have anybody who's been on the two deeps who's really even practiced. And obviously Tinsley's been in the program for a while, and Neville and Bledsoe have been in the program for a year, but, you know, those guys are doing the drills and whatever else, but did camps but the 1-2 reps, I mean, there's just nobody that's been in that role. The thing, you know, that we were so high about, you know, when Leach was hired, which is, you know, the kind of the message that's in the Swing Your Sword book, is that, you know, you basically have, you know, one off season in the air raid plus a half of a football game, and it clicks and you start scoring 50 points a game. And we've seen from you know, time here, that's just not the case.
Not anymore.
We're more back to, like, you know, the whole deal of, you know, Leach relying on, you know, the older guys to teach the younger guys, which is, like, you know, a huge part of his theory of coaching. Well, there aren't any older guys to coach the younger guys. So it's like we're kind of back to the Jeff Toole and Connor Holiday deal, except for both of those guys had significant game experience. It's going to be
under a different regime, but they did play and they did start.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they play it. I mean, my sense is that, you know, they'll start off with Tinsley as the one. simply because of the fact that he's the most experienced and probably is going to be the best equipped, you know, by extension to actually show folks how to be able to do the drills or whatever. But I think that, you know, the goal for the program has to be, you know, to see about, you know, whether or not, you know, Cooper's, it looks like he's reasonably ready to be able to take it on. So if he's not, then you obviously want to try to be able to see what grad transfer options are out there if Neville or Bledsoe can't fill the gap. But I think the biggest thing is that if they can come out of spring ball with two guys, knowing who the 1-2 is, that's probably what the goal is going to be.
Do you think they're going to know? Do you think they're going to know who the 1 is by the end of spring?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that, you know, I think there's obviously the battle between, you know, Connor Neville. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he was, you know, 3- or 4-star guy. And then Bledsoe is, you know, going to be the sentimental favorite, for a lot of folks, but I think he's going to be pretty good. But, you know, the thing, Gesser's, been awfully high on Cooper, and it's one thing to kind of talk a guy up, you know, before signing is almost like a quasi recruitment tool, but when you get a guy and, you know, he was making some pretty bold claims that Cooper had the skill set to actually challenge Helinski, I can't imagine that. That makes me think that he's got tools, and we'll see if he, you know, can rise to, you know, to be a, you know, to be a locker or even better, obviously to be a Rosen, but you know, locker, you know, not locker. God, why am I drawing a blank on his name? The quarterback for UW right now.
Oh, Browning.
Jake Browning.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't any great shakes in his first year. Struggled a lot. Lost a game at ASU with the late pick. I mean, I think that you don't have to be great to be able to assume the reins. You just have to be ready enough to be able to deal with the speed of the game and have the disposition where it is that when you get hit and things start to turn south that you don't fold.
Forcing things like we saw prior quarterbacks do when it wasn't there. Remember?
Yeah.
You got a quarterback who would say, you know, F it, go throw a deep, and then the interceptions would start racking up, and it would go off the rails. That's that youth, though, that's so hard to predict or the inexperience. The other thing, though, you know, I know people were, it didn't go that well with Tavaris Martin or Isaiah Johnson back. You know, I was looking earlier, those guys combined for 130 catches last year and 14 touchdowns. That's a lot.
That's a
lot of balls that are gone. Yeah. And those are your outside guys, by the way, too. You know, I really like what we've seen of Tay Martin. And I think Dez Patman has a great outside size deal going for him. He looks great in person. He's got it going on, but that's a lot. That's a lot of production gone. And that was always one of my big things was you'd hear things here and there about how much the receivers have on their plate in this offense and where they're constantly, deciding on the fly what they're going to do. Do they break it off here? Do they turn an 8-yard slant, or do they take it vertical? You know, there's so many little options, little wrinkles within. And I remember Gesser's coach's film that he would go through talking about the growth of Tay Martin over the season, where earlier in the year against Arizona, there was a route that he broke off short. And then against Stanford, he continued the route after he got with Falk, and they talked about it. And there was a huge third down conversion from Falk to Tay Martin in that game. And that was all based on what Gesser had pointed out earlier in the year, where he ran that route differently. That's just experience, and there's just no way to coach that. It's just going to come from playing and the chemistry that you're going to develop with whoever's going to be playing quarterback. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. I, I'm, I just don't know. I'm really, really curious to see what it looks like in the spring, and to see if we can what we can take from it and project. You know, that's going to be. I've never had so much uncertainty going into spring ball. So, at the most important position.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, it seems like. Well, I mean, so many positions on offense, really, and then there's the entire question about the interior of the defensive line, which, you know, if they can figure out about how to be able to fill, you know, to be able to fill those two or three slots, that defense could be really, really good, and if they can't, it could be really, really bad.
Are you going to run? Is it a 3-4? Is it a 3-3-5? Is it a 4-3?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Clay's know?
Yeah.
I mean, new DC? It's. Yeah, you know,
I could do a whole show on just that.
Yeah, you know, actually, I actually happen to. I was also, you know, the guy that thought that, you know, for a little while that we were going to be fine with Ken Bone after Tony Bennett. So not really a good judge of these things.
For about 5 minutes, I did too.
But,
and then I saw him tune him out and he got run by Gonzaga. I thought, we're going to go too well.
I actually think, and obviously Grinch was, you know, coveted by everybody. So he obviously was a great coach in addition to being a great motivator, but I actually think that we're not going to lose anything with Clay. I think that he's going to be fantastic. I think that, you know, the thing that you and I have talked about is that, you know, coming into this year is not the issue for me. Isn't so much as the fact that we don't have Grinch. And I don't think that's going to be that much of an issue over the next couple of years, actually. The thing that we're going to start really missing starting this year is that we don't have Joe Salve anymore, because this is really the first time since Leach came on as head coach that we don't have anybody, or at least two bodies on the interior of that defensive line. And, you know, obviously, you know, Joe kind of started to strike out on those guys later on. You know, Hercules is amazing, albeit, you know, the one in a million undersized 250 guys that can actually do something on the line. But I, you know, that to me is the loss that we're going to struggle with. And they're going to have to figure out about how it is that they can bring, you know, a couple guys in a class that they can develop in the same way as the offensive line into, you know, some decent, you know, real size defensive tackles, because boy, oh boy, we saw it in the bowl game. We've seen it in the Apple Cup. We saw it in all of the bowl games the Pac-12 teams were in this past year. If you don't have size on the interior of the defensive line, you are going to get run. And everybody saw it, and it's going to wind up being, you know, a point of emphasis for everybody in the conference. And if we're not kind of on that bandwagon, you know, we can be the speed D everywhere else. But we got to find, you know, two or three guys, you know, for every season to be able to come in and play on that interior, or we could, you know, I think we could slide.
Yeah, slide as in sliding out of conference, I can see. I still think, I mean, I think that the bowl season, I you don't want to overreact too much to a bunch of exhibition games, but man, oh man, that was the way those games went. I mean, we got pushed around as a conference. I mean, obviously it was the worst that the Pac-12 had ever done, and probably one of the worst the Pac-10 ever had. It was dreadful. We were just bad up front, and there's just no other way to say it. Even Washington had problems with Penn State. So
yeah, no, I mean the differences in the line play, and even the size
striking.
And speed at the linebacker position was striking. And you know, when I talk about sliding, I mean, we don't know, and we'll, you know, the spring will tell us a lot. I think kind of what the trajectory is for this team in 2018. I mean, I think the future is really bright. I think that 2019, we probably are going to be pretty darn good if all things go well and we're healthy. I think that Leach has proven enough that as long as he, you know, sticks around and continues to be able to recruit, we're going to win 6 games a year. I mean, I think that he'll find ways to win, you know, 2 or 3 non-conference games. I mean, I don't think that we even play a Power 5 team non-conference until something like 2023. I think the Wisconsin game. I think we got like another 6 years or whatever.
They'll just cancel
and,
it. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. He'll figure out a way to be able to win 3 or 4 conference games. It's more about, you know, whether or not, I mean, we really have established ourselves as, you know, one of the, as a top 3 team in the North. And obviously, you know, Oregon's been a little bit down and that will probably shift a little bit, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see if we can kind of stick on kind of that 8-9 win thing. Or whether or not we kind of slide back. And it'd also be interesting to see about how, you know, interested people are when you kind of settle into that kind of 6-6 to 7-5 thing. Cause I know personally, I'll be thrilled if, you know, 2018 ends and we're in the, you know, Zagsby Heart of Dallas Bowl or whatever else, but you know, in 3 or 4 years from now, people may not be so excited about that, you know?
Right. When they sell about 1,000 tickets for a game like that, you know,
yeah,
and no one's there, and
yeah,
nobody cares, yeah, and that's another issue for another day. We'll talk about the path to 6 wins at another time, but I think we're off the air here. So if we're not, let's wrap it up here. That flew by, didn't it?
Always does.
Even when she's doing it's gone.
So in the event that we're not off the air, what's besides the quarterback position, and this will be our close. What's the one thing that you're looking for, in terms of spring ball, or a couple things that you're looking for since it's starting next Thursday?
I want to see what the outside receivers look like. I want to see if Tay Martin. I want to see what he looks like physically. See if he's put some muscle on, because he was fairly skinny. But that's to be expected for a true frosh. I mean, my gosh. But I want to see if he could, you know, if he's added a few pounds here and there and see what he could. I mean, I think he could be really special. And I'm anxious to see what Patman looks like. And then I also, you know, you touched on earlier, but the D-line is, especially at nose tackle or whatever, even the alignments are going to be. Are we going to run with 4 D-linemen or 3 in a stand-up rush end? I have no idea. So I'm fascinated to see what we look like defensively, because I don't know what it's going to look like. Way you hear Clay's, it's Clay's, right? Is that the way we say it?
Is it Clay's?
Okay.
Well,
the way he tells us,
Clay's,
like, we're going to do every Clay's.
Clay's? Let's just say Clay's.
I should know. I've seen it written somewhere. But the way he's told it in some interviews I've heard him talk, it could be anything. It sounds like he's going to throw everything out there. So, but it does sound like to me he's kind of more of a let's not give up the 80-yard play. You know, I think he might back off a bit in spots where, you know, Grinch was bringing the house and twisting and stunting and guys were 15 yards upfield and all, you know, crazy. I don't know if we're going to see that anymore. But, so that's what I want to see. The outside receivers, because I think the inside guys, the inside receivers are a known quantity. I think we know what we're going to get from Jameer and Renard Bell and Sweet to an extent. But I want to see what those outside guys look like. And I really am fascinated by the D-line and the D, how it looks overall. So what about you?
Yeah, ditto all the above, and also, you know, also very optimistic about Tay Martin. I think that the biggest thing for me, which is the thing that we're not going to have any sense of because of how it is that Leach does the spring game, but for me, the entire right side of the offensive line. I expect, just because he filled in there when Cody went out, I think it was in the Colorado game, mm-hmm. maybe, that Oscar Myers guy is going to plug in at left guard, but that right guard and right tackle spot, who knows who's going to be there. And if Cooper is the quarterback, that's his blind side. So how they, you know, go to be able to fortify the right side. I don't know if you know, I think Valencia was hurt last year. We'll see if he comes in who their Leaf said on some podcast thing about he was excited about some guy and I can't remember his name. But the right side of the line. And then the other thing is just, is to be able to see what the new kids look like and how fast they are. To be able to see if Borgie is as fast as advertised, to see Harrington, on the field, you know, see about what he can do in space and to see if there's somebody on the outside in addition to the two known quantities that can actually take the top off of defense. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and I didn't even mention the quarterbacks. We talked for 20 minutes about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I want to see them get them too. So wow. Well,
all right. We'll do it again, another four years.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in 2022. We're still here. I have no idea. Tomorrow's promise to no man.
It's season three, so you know episode two has got to happen sometime next month.
We could do a turn ahead the clock episode and talk about the world in 2022. Sprayer Jr. is the new head coach. The Pac-12 is no more. I mean, we can go on and on.
All right,
I'll take us out on the Egerid song. That was made in like 2003, I think, 2004, and it's still out there.
Timeless classic.
It is. I'll give you a call in a minute, okay?
All right, later. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye. Man, I even bleed Craig. Fight for Washington State. We got the game's best fans, yeah, isn't it great? QB drops back and it's going for six. Other teams try the same and they throw in the pick. Either way, we in the end zone.
Blogfather Show, the WSU Football Blogfather Show, season 3, episode 1.